Christian Crusaders warmly welcomes each of you today. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
What is the basis for your spiritual convictions? Is it your feelings? We'll talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you for the faith that you have created in our hearts. We pray that that faith may continue to grow. Lord, we pray that we may be persistent in prayer, that we may communicate with you on a very personal basis, and that our hearts may be open to your word. And that's our prayer today, that we may open those hearts, that the Lord may speak to us, and that there we may find what his will is in our prayer life. All this we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cries out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly, because when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Here ends the reading of God's holy word. friends in Christ. Religious feelings are natural, but they can never be the basis for our Christian faith. Feelings are necessary. We have just sung the song, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know." For me, that evokes a lot of feelings. It's nostalgic. I think back on where I learned that song and the person who taught it to me. How simple that message is, and yet how profound. It's easy for me, hearing the song "Jesus Loves Me," to shed a tear. And I personally think that's how it ought to be. But it is not the music, nor the feelings that are the basis for my faith, but the message, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." The foundation of our faith is Jesus Christ. St. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, once said, "For no one can lay any other foundation than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. And with him we build to become more intimate in our relationship with him." A mature spiritual faith can often be seen best in our prayer life. And that's what Jesus is talking about in the text that is ours today. He talks about the judicial system of his age. It was terribly corrupt. Unless you had money and influence, there was no hope of getting your case before the judge, say nothing about getting it settled. But there was an exception. Perhaps Jesus knew of this particular case, or maybe it was just a story that he was making up to prove his point. There was a woman who had been treated very unjustly. And so regularly she would go to this judge and she would say, "Grant me justice against my adversary. I'll be coming back again and again if you do not." She was a persistent person, but the judge refused. However, finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming." In other words, she was very persistent. And that is the one message that this text wants to talk to us about today. Persistency in our prayer life. And our Lord goes on to say that you and I can learn a great deal from this woman and how she kept on going back to that judge who had no moral scruples at all, who cared neither for God nor for man. He then goes on to say, one of the characteristics of your prayer life ought to be persistency. For you go not to a judge who has no scruples at all, but you go to a father who cares for you and has invited you to come and make all of your requests known to him. Will not God then answer according to his will? And the answer to that is, of course he will. But sometimes he just wants us to be persistent in our praying. Prayer is not just coming when we are upset and asking God to grant us our request and then leave him until something else comes along. Prayer is something that we do many times during the day. Prayer is a part of the relationship with God where we wrestle with our Heavenly Father as we do even with our earthly parents when we are young. God, this is my concern. I come to you. I ask you to grant it to me. Now, sometimes he will, and sometimes he will not, because he knows it is better for us to be in the other state of mind. Persistency. That's what our point is today. Our prayer life is one way of showing how mature our faith really is. But how mature is our faith, friend, when we have to deal with it as far as prayer is concerned? Nearly 6 weeks ago, our nation was attacked. We sat glued early that morning to our television. We were unable to believe what we were seeing. The World Trade Center was hit by an airplane. Not once, but then came a second plane. Thousands of people were killed. Many of them were badly injured. Then came the news of the Pentagon being attacked. More people were dead. Then a third plane was hijacked and went down near Pittsburgh. And that was intended to go to another target. And there others would be killed. Who in the world is behind all of this was the thought in our mind. There was fear. And we asked ourselves the question and those round about us, what can we expect next? At that time, America experienced a need for God. I believe that there was a temporary, at least, spiritual awakening. And maybe, I pray that it does, continue to go on. Tens of thousands of people went to their churches praying for God's intercession, praying that He would give us strength as a nation to stand, praying that He would guide those who were in authority over us, and praying that we would be delivered from the hands of a ruthless enemy. People went to church everywhere. Our national leaders filled the National Cathedral in Washington, as Billy Graham pointed out to our nation that Jesus Christ is our only hope. And later on that day, we saw some of our congressmen, senators, and representatives standing on the steps of the Capitol singing, God Bless America. My wife and I went to our church, and we were moved with what we heard and saw. We could sense the presence of God with us. Young and old poured into that large sanctuary to make their requests known to God. Yes, I really believe that the Holy Spirit was at work in the hearts that day. We saw signs of spiritual life. Deep in the hearts of many people, there is still a spark of faith saying, God, in time of crisis, we need you. But that is not enough. God does not want that kind of an immature faith. He wants it to grow. He wants us to say, Lord, I need you every hour of the day. But now nearly 6 weeks have passed. America is getting back to normal. That includes our spiritual life. Our airports are open. The stock market is doing business. Our fears are being quieted. The emotions are settling down. And we are going about our work every day. Just this week, we heard from our daughter and her husband who are going to a medical meeting in Vancouver just in a few days. No fear about traveling anymore. Everything is fine. Another daughter and her husband are going to take a trip into Montana. And we're settling down. And along with settling down, we probably are adjusting our spiritual life back to what it was on September 10th, quite different from what it was on September 11th. I heard a pastor say only 3 weeks ago, on September 11th, I called our congregation together that night, and our church was filled as people came to pray and to sing the great hymns of the church, to meditate on His word. It so impressed us that we decided we were going to have such a service every Friday noon, just for a few minutes. We continue to have them, and we're thankful to God for those who come. Then I had to ask Him the question, how many do you have on a Friday noon now? Oh, He said, just a handful. But we're thankful for them. America settles down. Our prayer life settles down with it. My prayer is, friend, that we will grow spiritually, that there will be a spiritual awakening in our church that will spread across the land. Don't you think that our leaders need to be prayed for as much today as they did on September 11th? You bet they do. They're doing the very best they can, I believe, as they ponder the question, how can we really get at this to see justice done without destroying the lives of thousands and tens of thousands of people who had nothing to do with it and do not like their government any more than we do? Well, Jesus counsels us. And so he taught us that we should always pray and not give up. We should not give up in our own lives. You know, we've dealt with this now from the standpoint of the nation of which we are a part. But what God is saying to us personally is, don't be discouraged when your prayers are not answered according to your will on your time schedule. Have you prayed about this situation? I said to a man who was really disturbed about a problem that was in his life. Ah, yeah, he said, I prayed about it, but I didn't get the answer. And so I don't think there's too much to this whole matter of prayer. What does God mean by saying that we should pray? I just come with one request or maybe two requests or even three requests? Or does he say to that gentleman, sit down and let's talk this thing through? I'll speak to you in my word and you bring your request to me. How different from that lady in our church who is raising three kids. She prayed and her husband died. She pleaded with him. She said, God, you know how difficult it is for me to raise these children alone. I need him. And he got worse. And she again went to God. God, she said, you don't hear me evidently. Am I not registering with you? Let me tell you right out what I want. I want my husband. Is there anything wrong with that? My children need him. He finally died. And in those days that followed, I went to visit her often. And I finally said to her, how are you dealing with this? Well, she said, there is sometimes a little bitterness in my soul. I asked God to heal him, and he didn't do it. But now I've changed my prayer. Okay, God, I don't understand it, but what's my next move? This problem is more than I can really handle. Oh, I can feed them. But I really want these children raised in such a way that they'll grow up to be well-meaning people. And I'm going to do it as a single parent. What's my next move? It's in your hands, God. You show me. You lead me. You strengthen me. You alone have the answer. See, that's persistency in prayer. And this persistent prayer reveals to us, surely, my friend, that that woman who prays that way understands fully that God is one with whom she can wrestle. She is not just a fly-by-night Christian. She just is not working with her feelings. Sure, she has feelings. Sometimes they're up, sometimes they're down. But her faith is established in the Word of God, and her faith is founded on Jesus Christ. Now, any of us who have done a lot of praying during our lifetime realize that there are many, many mysteries as far as prayer is concerned. I often have said to the congregation where I serve, I don't have any concern about her, and I don't have any unbelief when it comes to believing in the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus. I don't have any concern about his physical resurrection. I don't have any concern about this, that he one day is going to return. The Word of God has said that, and that's enough. But I have some real questions occasionally. When it comes to the matter of prayer, I don't have the answers because it seems to me that at times it just doesn't quite all add up. I've heard many a person say that very same thing. But we must remember that when we have those feelings that maybe God isn't listening or we're not getting through to him or whatever else it is, we do not turn our backs on him, but rather we go back to him. Back like that widow went back to the judge. Back to say, God, maybe I'm not asking right. Maybe there are things that you see that I don't. But I'm here today, God, to ask you to guide and direct me then in the way that you want me to go. Persistency in prayer. Sure, there are all kinds of feelings as far as our Christian faith is concerned. We would not want a faith that did not have those feelings. But remember, friend, the feelings are up and the feelings are down. And you cannot base your faith on feelings, but rather base it on the promises of God, the promise that he has made to you and to me today, and the promise that he said to his gave to his disciples 2,000 years ago when he told them that parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. May God give us the grace to do the same. Amen. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour. Father in heaven, we pray that your word may have rung clearly in our hearts this day. God, we pray that we might have once again been reminded that we are to be persistent in our prayer life, that it is not simply coming to you with a request and leaving it there, never coming back, but that as a child comes to his or her father, so may we come to you. Persistently we stand before the throne of grace this day, asking, O God, that there may be spiritual awakening in your church on this earth, and that the gospel of Jesus Christ may ring clearly. Give us the grace to stand strongly on Christ, the chief cornerstone of the church. Bless our leaders and our land. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. As a nonprofit ministry, we are supported by gifts from you, our listeners. If you are able, we pray that you will support this ministry to spread the gospel to those who are unable to attend a place of worship. October is calendar month for Christian Crusaders. We would like to send you a free year 2002 calendar. This nature calendar displays beautiful four-color scenes from a beach in Hawaii to the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee. A different, inspiring Bible verse is featured each month. To receive your free calendar, just call our toll-free number, 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. We will need your name, your mailing address, and the station where you hear Christian Crusaders. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number again is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons can be read or printed. Complete recordings of the latest programs can also be heard at your convenience. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.